If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 14 to 21. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you'll find that on page 771. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 14 and reading on down to verse 21. We read these words. It says this: "Then Peter stood up and with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and the signs of the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" Great words, and that, especially that last verse. I'm looking forward to hearing how God's word is going to touch our hearts this morning. God bless you.
I'm grateful for that day when mercy walked in my life, when Jesus entered and took my sins and covered them with his blood and set me free. And I trust that you are grateful for that as well. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to please open up once again to the book of Acts, chapter 2. This is Pentecost Sunday. And when Pentecost is normally celebrated, we focus a lot on miraculous events and changes. And somehow the passage that was written by Joel that Peter preached on, somehow we kind of skip over that. And so this morning, I want to bring out a little bit about what were some of the differences that were brought about because of the day of Pentecost. We know what happened with the disciples. Jesus had told them after the resurrection, "I want you to go in Jerusalem and you wait until you're endued with power from on high." And how they then gathered together in that upper room and they were praying and going through whatever was taking place in their worship and that type of thing, and how the Holy Spirit came. And he came as a rushing mighty wind, and people heard the noise of that wind. And how the Holy Spirit landed on and filled those who were gathered together in that upper room, and they went out proclaiming the amazing things of God in languages that they had never learned, because there were people from all over the world who were gathered at Jerusalem, Jews from everywhere that were gathered there, and they were absolutely amazed at what was taking place, because here are these Galileans, and they're proclaiming the amazing things of God, and you know, these are uneducated people. They're just kind of folks. And they're all amazed by that and how the stories begin to arise. Well, they must be drunk. No, that's not the issue. But they begin to proclaim the amazing things of God. And then Peter stands up. And he gives that message that literally brings 3,000 people into the faith in that moment. Bam. That's church growth, folks. That's incredible. And we all like to hear that, and we all like to celebrate that. But I want to share with you this morning that the day of Pentecost was far deeper than just an initial evangelism moment. Because there were things that were broken apart that had held back the children of Israel for years. And Joel had prophesied about that. And so we want to look at four things out of verses 17 and 18. And we want to look at the fact that from that moment on, there would be no prejudice. There would be no sex discrimination. There would be no age discrimination. There would be no social discrimination because of that moment in time when the Holy Spirit came and indwelt those disciples. And God had a plan. God had a vision for what He wanted to be able to happen. And it had to happen on this day of Pentecost to begin that process, because God wanted the gospel to be able to go out into all the world and to make a change in people's lives and bring people to a vibrant, dynamic faith so that His kingdom could be filled. And so let's look at these four areas, beginning at this subject in beginning of verse 17, about the fact that there would be no prejudice. Look at the beginning of verse 17. "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my Spirit upon all mankind." You see, what was being broken down here was the gospel message had been reserved for the Jews. And in the reservation of the gospel for the Jews, that meant that in order for a Gentile, you and I, in order for a Gentile to be able to have a relationship with God, they had to go through certain ritualistic things that were important to the Jews. Males had to be circumcised as a demonstration of the fact that they wanted to become a part of God's family. But even if they were Gentile converts to Judaism, they were not given the full rights of a Jew. For example, a Gentile, no matter how righteous he finds himself, after coming in to the Jewish faith, a Gentile could never be a priest. He was not allowed to administer the Word of God to a group of people. And so that was a hindrance to people wanting to become converts to the Jewish faith. And as Joel was looking at this several hundred years before the moment that this takes place, Joel is looking at that and he's saying, look, the Lord has declared that in the last days I will pour forth my Spirit on all mankind. The good news of God was not going to be available only to the Jews or only through the Jews, but the fact that He was tearing down the walls of discrimination. And so that becomes an important area, because the Jews had a prejudiced spirit toward all who were not Jews. In fact, they referred to the Gentiles as dogs. Gentile dogs. And that was even a part of their worship. And you see, what they had in the Jewish church at that time was that there were naturalized Jews, men who were born Jewish, who were allowed to sit in the front of the sanctuary. Then there was a curtain that was placed behind them. And behind that curtain could be the women, the children, or the male children and female children, but even the male kids, and the Gentiles who were converts to Judaism. They weren't allowed up in that curtained area. When a Jewish male reached the age of 13 and reached manhood, and that was when they declared that a Jewish male became a man, was at the age of 13, then there was a special celebration that they held. And in that special celebration, that young man then was allowed to come through the curtain to sit with the other men and to worship God in the front of the church. You know, that as I think about that, I would think that people would rush to the front of the church now to be seated instead of wanting to be in the back section. Just probably shouldn't have said that. But you see, that signified that young man had become a full-fledged Jewish male. But the Gentiles, if they were 89, they weren't allowed in that front section. And it's an interesting thing, because when Jesus died on the cross and there was the earthquake that took place, the veil was torn from top to bottom. God was in the process of opening up the gospel. Salvation had come because of Christ to all mankind. And you see, God, in this prophecy by Joel, and it shall be in the last days that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind, was signifying that there would be no prejudice. So it didn't matter what you were, what your nationality was, all mankind was now welcome into the family of God. Not only was this prejudice removed, but note, secondly, that there was no sex discrimination from that point on. Look at the second part of that 17th verse. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters. Now, I find that interesting because it was both sons and daughters prior to this. Remember, women were not allowed to speak in church. They weren't allowed to share their faith in public. You know, you've got Randy and Cindy sitting there. And, of course, Cindy would be the second-class citizen of that relationship. Still is? No, Randy goes, no. But you see, Cindy would not even in public be allowed to speak to her husband on the street, because that was not proper. And in fact, when they were walking down the street, Randy and Cindy didn't walk along holding hands. Stand up, you two. You guys are still in love, right? Okay, this won't offend you then. Come out here. Come up here. I want everybody to be able to see. Okay, stop. Turn around. Grab hands. I want you to walk all the way back to that door and then turn around to walk all the way back up holding hands. Okay? in Israel, that was illegal. That was illegal. Even if they're husband and wife, that was illegal. Now, stop right where you're at. Josh, come forward about 3 steps. Towards the center. Aaron, a step to the left. Now come on up to your seats. That was a public display of how husband and wife were supposed to walk in public. She was to be behind him. All right? And I mean, that was one of the social orders of the day. But in public, they simply were not allowed to have any displays of affection. And she was not allowed to talk to him. He could talk to people that he met on the street, although it was not honorable for him to speak with another woman. He was allowed to, but it was not honorable because she was not allowed to respond back. But you see, when God made this declaration, look, I'm going to pour forth my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And the word prophesy there does not mean foretell future events. It means tell forth of your faith. It means talk about your faith. I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters, and they can tell about the wonderful good news of God and what God has done for them. There would be no more sex discrimination. And, you know, there was even discrimination among males at that time, too, because the priesthood was reserved for the Levites, not all of the tribes of Israel, but for the Levites. And so your sons and your daughters, it doesn't matter who they are now. I'm pouring out my spirit on them so they can all tell the good news of God. And so there's no more sex discrimination. Now, there were societal things that had to be broken that had taken a lot of time. And in fact, there are still certain people or sects, S-E-C-T-S, of Judaism that still make the woman walk behind and the man walk in front of. All in all, not a bad system. No, I didn't say that. Yes, I did. But you see, God was in the process of demonstrating that he was reaching down to man in Jesus Christ. And not just man, but women as well. And was opening up for them to be able to share their faith. I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters, and they shall prophesy. You know, I have often wondered about when the Jews would read about this, and they would be perhaps studying the book of Joel in their Old Testament class, which was simply scripture class, because it wasn't considered the Old Testament, still isn't, among Jews. But nonetheless, when they were doing their studies, I wonder if they got to that particular passage and talked about the women prophesying, if those guys are going, this must be a misprint. Must be a bad translation. But you see, Peter brought it out. Do you know why? Upper room, 120 men and women assembled together. The Holy Ghost comes, fills them all. and they all go out proclaiming the good news of God. Peter says, they're not drunk like you suppose, but this is what the prophet Joel was writing about. There would be no sex discrimination. Number three, you'll note that there was to be no age discrimination. Verse 17 still, the last part of the verse. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men are going to be involved in being able to catch the vision of God and what God wants to do and how He's going to reach out to this world. And so the young men are going to be involved in that, and your old men will dream dreams. They will dream of the time when the gospel goes worldwide. And how to go about that. And how to honor God. Paul wrote some things about young men and older men. And he told the young men, respect your elders. Respect them. Treat an older man as a father. Treat your younger men as brothers. And so there needs to be that love-based relationship within the body of Christ. What do? In our society, we reject older people. How anti-God that is. We need to still respect and honor our senior citizens, and especially those of the faith. Honor them. They have much, much wisdom to be able to share. They have a lot of insights to be able to give so that people can grow in their faith. And our younger men need to be encouraged. You know, we've got a couple of young men in this congregation who, just within the past couple of months, one very recently this week, one just within the last couple of months, that gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. They need to be encouraged. They really do. We need to be lifting up Roger, Garrett, and asking God to just bless them. Treating them with honor and respect. God has a plan for them and a purpose. And He spoke to their hearts. And they willingly received. You want to know something? God is trusting us as a congregation to be good examples. So it's important that we do that. Because they're valuable to Him. And so it's very important that we understand this idea that God was breaking down the age discrimination thing. No longer was there to be a curtain that separated men and women, young and old. But all were to be considered equal and valuable in the eyes of God. The last one I want you to notice is that Joel prophesied and Peter preached that there would be no social discrimination. Look at verse 18. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Bond slaves were considered to be the lower echelons of the social status. God says they're every bit as valuable to me as the freeman, as the individual who is wealthy. So it doesn't matter what your social standing, if you're poor or if you're rich. It doesn't matter which side of the tracks you were born on, whether you were born on the good side or the poor side. It doesn't matter where you went to school, whether it was a private school, a public school, or a home school. All are equal. In the eyes of God, all are equal. So the social issues are to be gone. Because as God looks down on us, He doesn't see the brand of clothes we wear. He doesn't see the style of shoes. He doesn't see whether there's a tie around the neck or no tie. He doesn't see if there's dress pants or blue jeans, because He looks at the heart. And that's what's important. If the heart is right, they'll be blessed. Jesus said it like this in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You notice He didn't say, blessed are those who wear the right apparel. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. Because the pure in heart will dress modestly, and that's important. But the brand of clothing doesn't matter. And so it doesn't matter what store you shop at. All that matters is that you walk faithfully with God. And folks, within the body of Christ, there is to be no discrimination. Skin color, nationality, none of that matters. It's whether or not the heart is pure before God. That's what matters. Doesn't matter what your status is. It only matters who your Lord is. All because of the day of Pentecost, when God poured out His Spirit on all mankind. When He broke down the barriers and the walls that divided, and opened up His grace and His mercy for all people. You see, that's what the church is about. It's not about we're better than you or we're not as good as you. It's about we've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're valuable. And we realize that those who have not yet been purchased are valuable to God, and we need to reach out to them so that they can find faith. That's what it's about. That's why we celebrate Pentecost. Really has nothing to do with tongues. Doesn't have anything to do with that stuff at all. It has to do with freedom that God gave. I invite you to invite the Holy Spirit to have full and complete control of your life. Let him change you to the very core of who you are, so that when God looks at your heart, he sees the image of his Son. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please take your hymnals and know this is not a mistake. I know we sang the chorus already. This was with intention. I'm going to ask you to open up to number 250 again. Number 250. This time we're going to sing the verses too. And let's invite the Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to have him in your life. Today's a perfect opportunity. Why don't you step out? Come to this altar. Give your life to Jesus Christ today. Be somebody by being God's. So let's sing number 250. And if God is speaking to you, you step out and come. Receive him today.